It's a great pleasure to welcome back to this forum Ashish Kila. Ashish, in his career, has worked with leading investment banks like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley in their equity research division, and now is the director at Perfect Group. Ashish looks after the strategic functions of the group and manages the family office fund. Ashish regularly speaks at various institutions and forums. He also is a rank holder CA and MBA from MDI Gurgaon. And it's always a great pleasure to have Ashish contribute here, and we look forward to the presentation today as well. So Ashish, please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you, John. Thank you, MOI Global, for the opportunity. Always a pleasure to present here. So today's presentation will be discussing about a framework of sidecar investing, which is updated with a ranking of business models framework. Just to start with disclaimer, we are not SEBI registered analysts, and this is only an educational presentation and not to be considered investment advice. And any facts or business environment which may keep changing, our views could also change going forward in future. We may or may not be able to update our revised views in the public. Introduction, John has already been kind enough to give it about us, so I'll skip this slide. These are a few business schools and investment houses we have presented here in the country. Just like to acknowledge my father, Mr. Ari Kila, who is the chairman of the Perfect Group and the guiding light. And at the same time, my entire research team, who has been instrumental in bringing this presentation together. I'd like to acknowledge the role models from whom I've been blessed to get vicarious learning. I just like to, before I bring the presentation, just give an update on a previously discussed business model on Thomas Cook, which I had presented in Best Ideas 2018. So Thomas Cook shareholders in a spin-off transaction have got Quess Corp shares recently. Just like to update that we are not happy with the Quess Corp management's corporate governance and capital allocation standards. A few concerns which we think are listed below. One, capital allocation. They have been investing in unrelated businesses like buying a football club, which has no correlation to the existing business. Second, aggressive accounting policies. Goodwill has not been written off in the balance sheet, which stands at close to 1,288 crores, which is a substantial part of the balance sheet. And working capital intensity continues to be high. Now, most of the staffing companies are supposed to collect money from the client and then give it to the employees. But Quess Corp, in a bid to get higher margins and growing fast, has not been following this model and funding also the clients to a great extent, resulting in a high working capital intensity. Because of these factors, we would like to reiterate that we're not happy with the Quess management's governance and capital allocation. Our views might change if we see substantial progress on the above concerns. And again, like to portray a disclaimer that this is a discussion for educational purpose. Coming to today's presentation, let me just showcase how every year we have been presenting various thought processes in our investing studies. Sidecar investing, which we initiated as a concept in 2017, has now been revised with our learnings over the last few years, which I'll be sharing today. So coming to today's presentation of roadmap for life cycle of a business. So if you take a typical life cycle of a business, you see Mr. X comes with an idea, starts a business, starts scaling it up, starts diversifying, and is generating wealth on its way. But then at a certain point of time, you see the management bandwidth getting stretched. The group is not able to scale up more geographically or is unable to diversify. This results in the group not being able to reinvest cash flows and the growth starts slowing down. Now, notable exception to this model is one of the companies called Berkshire Hathaway, which we'll be discussing further also going forward. So the problem here, which we try to highlight, is that few companies can keep growing for a very long time. We take an example of General Electric. In that year 2016, it was among the top 30 companies. And today's scenario has already fallen to 50th rank. even a company like GE could not manage a diversified portfolio of businesses. It gets extremely tough to have a management bandwidth to manage all the businesses properly. So coming to today's presentation, what is capital allocation? In the book Outsiders, William Thorndike has mentioned that the best CEOs are masters of capital allocation, and that as CEOs, they are both capital allocators and investors. They have the investor's mindset, and this is a quality which is extremely important in terms of wealth generation going forward. How the management should think about capital allocation? So the management can think about, is there any opportunity for incremental return internally? Yes, then they should go for it. That's called organic growth. Else, they should think in terms of whether our share is cheap. If that is a yes, they should consider repurchasing it. Else, they should come to an opportunity to acquire other businesses. If that is also not there available, then they should return money to shareholders. Or if an opportunity is available to acquire other businesses, then they should consider for inorganic growth. Today's focus area will be inorganic growth. Some interesting insights that M&A and capital expenditures are basically the largest use of capital over the time. And this activity tends to be greatest when economy is doing well. What are the benefits of inorganic growth? Capability upgrades, market breakthroughs, reaping the customer experience. A company wants to come into a new technology, it acquires that company and gets the know-how how to do it. Market breakthrough, it is trying to get a foothold in another market. It buys a company in that market and using its distribution platform is able to go through, or the acquisition brings some capabilities to serve the customer better. So what is sidecar investing? So sidecar investing, we'll be discussing further in this presentation going forward. Let's start with the track record of companies allocating. Mostly you've seen across that inorganic growth has been quite unsuccessful, with host of companies failing through badly. Tata Chorus is another classic example, which was an auction-driven sale of Chorus. Tata Steel finally bought Chorus in a $12 billion deal. Just like to read a statement by the then CEO, Ratan Tata, who mentioned that, "I don't believe in taking right decisions. I take decisions, then I make them right." A lot of times corporates or management engage in auction driven battles, which sometimes become an ego driven battle also. And sometimes the company ends up paying far more than the fair value of the business and then struggles later on with the business. One should avoid such kind of auction driven purchases. Now let us see some examples of successful companies which have been doing inorganic growth very successfully. We have talked about three companies here: Berkshire, Constellation, and Accruit. So what is the special thing which a Warren Buffett has done or Berkshire Hathaway has done in its culture, which allows it to keep scaling up versus a company like GE, which is not able to scale up? Berkshire has created a hands-off culture, which basically encourages entrepreneurs to sell their private companies to Berkshire. It leaves its managers alone. So managers at the 60 plus units have a lot of autonomy. They stick around and they are not day-to-day monitored. The headquarters only have a few employees which are responsible for accounting and other functions, but they don't run the company. The managers themselves run their companies. All the incentives are linked to cash. The more cash you generate, the more you're incentivized. And that links the companies to think in terms of productivity gains related to low capital deployment. Buffett also allows them to take a very long-term view and not be overtly short-term focused or think in terms of how the street or the analysts keep expecting them to generate quarterly profits. That way, the company is able to take a very long-term call and not think of very short-term results. Coming to Constellation Software, Mark Leonard has built up Constellation into world-leading consolidator of software companies. Now, if you look at the acquisitions, they have in the range of Canadian dollar 2 to 4 million. And the team is constantly looking to add more such small businesses. The capital allocation is centralized, but the actual operation is decentralized. And look at the fantastic wealth creation which this company has done over the last 10 years. Similarly, Recruit Holdings has classified the operation under three heads: HR, technology, media, and staffing. Again, it buys a small share and the company does well, expands it. So what Professor Richard Zeckhauser says, when we find such a sidecar investment opportunity, we should definitely sit up and take notice of such opportunity. Professor Sanjay Bakshi has quoted an example of a film Sholay in the Indian context, in which, as I showed the photo earlier, that a rider is driving the motorcycle and the companion is enjoying a pillion ride attached to the bike. In the case where the individual has a great capital allocation track record and exceptional sourcing skills, the pillion rider can take comfort from the fact that the rider knows what he's doing and he'll keep growing the company. The more the investor is confident in the driver's integrity, the more attractive the investment becomes. Coming on to the ranking, what do we prefer in successful M&A? A friendly merger, an asset-light model, a fair valuation, cash-generating businesses, hands-off approach. One should avoid auction-driven sale, use of excessive leverage, and cultural differences. Now, these are instances or points which have come across various mergers which have been successful or failed earlier. Based on this, we come to today's idea. So if you see one category of companies which acquire other companies in India, we call it the Bahubali approach. Bahubali is a character in India in the movie, which kind of says that I alone can do a lot of things. Now, this is a company, here we take examples of Madhusan Sumi, Suprajit and Piramal. Now, these companies say that we come and replace the acquired management and we will turn around those operations and run them properly and integrate with our operations. These companies believe that the existing management is not able to do it. We can do it. But in this process, the bandwidth gets fully stretched. You come to the next set of companies which believe in a culture of working together. Here, the companies like Thomas Cook, Team Lees, Quest, they retain the same team and say that you run the business. We will provide you whatever operational backend support and help you cross-sell. Here, the bandwidth gets moderately stretched. Then we come to the best model out there for sidecar investing, rank one, which is basically making strategic investments and the bandwidth is completely free. Such a company which we are covering is InfoEdge. InfoEdge is a platform company providing services of online classifieds in the areas of recruitment, matrimony, real estate, and other related services in India. If you compare InfoEdge with global players like Berkshire, Constitution, Recruit, we have taken a small matrix and compared them. First is hands of culture. So in companies like Berkshire, Constellation, Recruit, InfoEdge, almost all of them have a hands of culture. InfoEdge even more so, because it is not even acquiring the company. It acts more like a sounding board. Diversification. Most of the companies are diversifying here except Constellation, which mostly keeps buying software companies. Startups investing. Berkshire is looking at mostly profitable franchises and doesn't look at investing too much in startups. And the acquisition style, finally. A company like a Berkshire is open to acquiring both complete and partial stake. But companies like Constellation Recruit prefer to apply complete stakes. A company like InfoEdge, wherein it wants the management to run its own show, only looks for partial stake acquisitions and accept acqui-hires. Acqui-hire is the term coined by InfoEdge, where it says that we are looking for certain acquisitions which can complement our existing verticals of education, real estate, and recruitment. There they like to acquire completely. Otherwise, whatever investments they make, they are only taking partial stake. Now, coming to platform companies, value migration. If you see a Credit Suisse report, technology is killing corporate America, you will see how in various sectors, retail, media, and hospitality, platform companies are disrupting the traditional media. It's an era of platform companies. These companies do not own the means of production. In fact, they create the means of connection. With zero marginal cost, they can scale up immensely and quickly. These companies act like a flywheel in motion and become one of the large platforms in that space. An Amazon in horizontal e-commerce, an Uber in ride hailing, Airbnb in vacation rentals. The shift from horizontal to vertical platforms. Horizontal classifieds are basically offerings which are across product categories. And vertical classifieds are basically saying that we only specialize in one domain. Now, if you see, gradually the market is shifting from horizontal to vertical. We'll take an example of a company called Just Dial, which was classified across categories. Now, if you see some categories which you mentioned, an online food ordering has moved to Swiggy Zomato, a travel ticket booking has moved to Make My Trip, a real estate 19 acres. The market is keep getting segmented in terms of various verticals, and the horizontal keeps getting squeezed because a customer always prefers a vertical platform company because it is able to get better service. This is example of other horizontals like OLX and Quikr in India, which are again moving towards verticalization by specializing in various verticals. About InfoEdge. InfoEdge operates as an online classifieds company in the area of recruitment, matrimony, real estate. Launched in 1997, listed on exchange in 2006. These revenues have grown at a CAGR of 19% since 2006. If you look at the octopus model, which was coined by Vishal of Safal Niveshak and given by Saurabh Madan, the business, like an octopus, has multiple legs. One leg having the main driving competitive advantage force, and other legs assisting it into making up that business stronger. So here, recruitment database access is the major leg of the octopus, which is driving the major revenues. And other small legs like the assisted search, the branding, lesser margin businesses are driving the main business out there. This creates a big network effect of switching cost that we get the most jobs, traffic, response, and the clients. And this results in Naukri having more than 100% of industry profits in product innovation, sales network, engineering. They are able to invest much more because of getting most of the profits in these services. Similarly, for 99 acres is a classifieds in the real estate segment, enjoying the similar network effects. And similarly is the case of matrimony website Jeevan Sathi, again wherein similar flywheel effects are operating for this company. Think of the management. Management says that whatever investments they are making in these companies like Jeevan Sathi and other, these are investments for future, because most of the investments are getting charged to the P&L, but they are building long-term branding, long-term growth for the company. They are in the nature of OPEX, and that is why these companies create a lot of delta when they start moving, hitting an inflection point. What is the investment process of the company? The company has an investment team after the founder Sanjeev Bikchandani, which looks after a host of points mentioned here to see whether this startup where we are trying to fund has the skill set and the vision to grow ahead. Just look at some of the startups which this company has been invested. It has built a very nice plethora of startup portfolio in the Indian ecosystem. Now, what are the tailwinds for InfoEdge? The number of internet users in India is growing exponentially. Jio, a telecom player, has been adding players by the millions every month. As per The Economist, almost 1.2% of the total population is getting connected to internet every month in India. Now, these are big tailwinds for platform companies in India. Let's look at the size of the opportunity. Look at how Naukri.com compared to Indeed.com or 51jobs China in terms of number of profiles is still a long way to go. Same is the case in number of unique clients. Again, compared to Seek in Australia and 51 Jobs China. Look in terms of visitations. If you see in all these metrics, Naukri still looks in its infancy against the other larger players. Traffic source. Lot of traffic source from Naukri.com comes directly, which shows that the users are finding the traffic portal very valuable to them. Again, here is a snapshot of the revenue growth. If you look at even the major players outside are able to grow at double digits, even at a much higher size versus Naukri.com. Let's look at the opportunity for 99acres, the real estate portal. If you look at there also, that's just scraped the surface. It's just so small right now. And just look at markets like US and Australia, where it is such a magnified exponential percentage of the entire business. Same is the case of visitations. And here the traffic sources have a good potential. Currently, a lot of it is through online search, but we believe like Naukri.com, as the portal gets more and more established, again, the traffic will shift to direct to 99acres, and which will again increase the bargaining capacity of the platform. As per the industry estimates, real estate sector is a huge sector, accounts for 10% of GDP. And look at the $1 trillion market size, which the sector will reach. So the next phase of growth will be driven by the classified industry in these segments. Similarly, look at the size of opportunity for the matrimonial segment. India is again so small. Only 6 million active users are there in the country right now. We are addressing only 10% of the market. Let's look at the peer comparison. Monthly visits, Jeevan Sathi is already doing quite well in terms of its peers. And the revenue has a huge potential to grow if you look at the market size. Traffic sources, again, it is improving. Now look at the size of the opportunity for Zomato. Again, potential to shift directly from online to direct like Naukri. Look at the orders per month. Zomato is a food delivery company in India, which InfoWise has invested. Look at China delivering 600 million orders per month. India is just 50 million orders. Look at the value in $1 billion, which Zomato is getting valued at. Revenue online food delivery. Now, an interesting point. In US, there are three different segments: restaurant discovery, food delivery, table registration. And you have different players addressing these three segments. In India, all the three segments are addressed by the one player called Zomato. Again, which increases the size of the opportunity for this company. Now, this company is already number one in its segment in almost 23, 24 countries out there. So this is almost like a global company out there. Policy Bazaar, again, an investing company of InfoEdge, which is addressing the insurance sector in the country. Now, this company derives 50% of the online insurance sales market in the country, which is a big, big segment. Doc Prime. This is one of the ventures which Policy Bazaar has just started, which mentions about doctor consultations. Now, the reason for showing all these charts and everything is to show that various platforms wherein the company is being a part of or invested in are just starting the surface, and being the platform fed companies, being the dominant player, they will be able to get majority of the market share as these platforms keep scaling up. Again, look at Doc Prime versus a Ping An China. Now Ping An, coincidentally, the same investors behind Ping An have also invested in Policy Bazaar and are helping Doc Prime to scale up like Ping An. Let's come to the valuation methodology. Now, since all businesses except Naukri are under investments and scaling up phase and not profitable, we are doing a DCF for Naukri and using other valuation multiples for the other businesses. Following are the assumptions which we take in DCF for Naukri: a terminal growth rate of 5%, an opportunity cost of capital at 10%. We are assuming the growth in cash flows at 20%. The historical growth in cash flows has also been 20% for Naukri since its listing. And we believe that this will continue given the potential size of opportunity, which we showed earlier, and the massive jump in internet users due to Jio. So if you look, we have mentioned here how we've taken the cash flow and how we have registered it to come out with a cash flow for Naukri.com and come out with the growth rates. This is a DCF sheet where we showed present value. And for Zomato, one of the big investee companies of Info Edge, we have taken the valuation given by HSBC at 3.6 billion. And based on that valuation, it comes to almost 600 rupees per share for Info Edge. So if you look at the sum total of the valuation, the intrinsic value per share of Naukri.com or recruitment business is close to 2,000 rupees. Add to that 600 rupees for Zomato's valuation and cash per share, you roughly get around 2,700 rupees as intrinsic value for the recruitment business, the food delivery Zomato business, and the cash in the books versus the current market price of around 2,500-2,400. Now, this may not look very attractive, but if you move to the next sheet, you are also getting other businesses free with this. So let me mention about the other businesses, 99acres and Jeevansathi. So if you value these businesses as per the other multiples given to global companies for such platforms, the valuation comes to close to 500 rupees. Now, these companies are growing extremely fast, as discussed earlier also, because these are platforms and they're as a flywheel taking away most of the market share as these businesses grow in India. So along with the current market price of 2,400 rupees, you are getting the all these businesses and the investee companies quite free in optionalities. Now, this is the charm for this company, that this company will keep investing in the Indian ecosystem. Let me mention that going ahead. Just look at the various optionalities which this company has created. Policybazaar, 99acres, Jeevansathi, Merit Nation, Canvera, Unnati, Dairo. Close to 27-30 companies are there which this company keeps investing going ahead. Now, this is like a play on the Indian startup ecosystem. And you will keep having optionalities coming from this. So why is Info Edge better than a VC or PE? One may think, let's invest in a PE. Now, these guys have got permanent capital. Because they're investing their own cash flow, they don't have to exit or return back money to the shareholders. They are the buyer of choice. Out of 14 unicorns in India, two have come from the Info Edge stable, Zomato and Policybazaar. And one would think a VC investment, you always think that out of 100 investments, 50, 60 of them go bad, 20, 30 of them do good, and a few of them make the most of the money. But if you look at Info Edge's track record, almost 70% of the investments have gone into successful companies like Zomato and Policybazaar, which have grown valuation by 300 and 200 times from the initial investment. Now, how is this possible that a VC is not able to do so well versus Info Edge? That Info Edge averages up its investments. It starts with a very small amount, $1 to $3 million. And the companies which keep performing well and delivering well, they keep doubling down. That way, the money goes only in companies which are very successful. Now, potential for Info Edge. Just let us look at how the 90s and 2000s were behaving. A company used to get established, and there were no intermediaries like PE or VC, and got listed to the exchanges for funding. So you had Amazon and Microsoft listing in 75 and 94, giving returns of close to 2000x for investors. But what is happening today? When a company gets established, the funding requirement comes through a PE and VC, and the listing happens at quite high valuations. So today, if an investor were to buy a company, they will buy it at such a high valuation that is very difficult to make phenomenal returns from there. Let us take the example of Facebook and Uber. These companies have got listed at hundreds of billions of dollars. So is it easy now to get a 2000x from these levels? Seems quite difficult because the initial ride or the initial money or the initial wealth creation was not available to shareholders of the public sector. These companies got listed at such a level that very difficult now to grow 2000x from these levels. And that is why a company like InfoEdge comes in the play, because InfoEdge has the option to acquire at very initial phases. InfoEdge gives us the opportunity to investors wherein they can invest in platforms at the very initial conceptual stage, which have the potential to become the next Microsoft, Amazon or Apple. Case in point, Zomato and Policybazaar here. Let us again compare platform companies with traditional companies. If you look at Indian companies like Titan, which also keep expanding into new businesses, let's look at the scale of speed in which they can grow. A company like Zomato, within a month, has grown in 100 cities from 300 to 400. Within a year, has almost doubled its restaurant listings. Versus Taneera, a division of Titan selling sardines, has grown from 2 stores to 7 stores. Now, any traditional company will grow very slowly because it doesn't have the platform effect behind it. So it builds slowly, one by one, gradually opening stores. But because, as I mentioned earlier, a platform company has zero marginal cost, they can scale up very fast. So optionalities which come through InfoEdge can also scale up very fast and build a lot of wealth for investors. Let's look at the ranking of business models framework which we have created. What are the key essentials to look for in a company? So you start with management. Buffett has given a check of energy, intelligence and integrity. Intelligence here meaning how are you allocating capital, and integrity means corporate governance and shenanigans. The shenanigans should not be there. Energy meaning the execution track record of the company. Scalability. Can the business really grow? What are the competitive advantages of the business? Longevity. Is the business required in the long run? Are the demand factors of a business not getting disrupted by technological disruption? Favorable industry structure. How competitive is the industry? Is it some industry wherein a lot of PE, VC players and organized competition is really jostling out? Or is it an industry which has now become an oligopoly or a few players in the industry? Reasonable valuations. Now, these are the points which we look that a company should have, all of them, to make wealth. Now, in terms of allocation, we also look at what competitive advantages a business might have. So InfoEdge, all the essentials which I mentioned above, just look at the advantages of competitive advantage which he has. Annuity revenues. Somebody who is a recruitment client for Naukri.com or InfoEdge will keep renewing his contract with InfoEdge, giving it an annuity revenue structure for the company. Similarly, switching cost. Because of the platform effect of the company, it has most of the CVs or resumes on its platform, and it is able to charge quite a heavy premium versus other players who have very less resumes on its platform. So it enjoys immense pricing power and switching cost. Tailwinds. As we mentioned, with Jio and the increasing telecom and internet penetration, more and more people hitherto which were not on internet are now coming on internet and can be a part of the platform and can apply their resumes online. Sidecar investing, as I mentioned, that this is a business which will keep reinvesting its cash flows in more such platforms and generate wealth. And optionalities like Zomato and Policybazaar will keep coming as these businesses keep scaling up. The good point here is because these are platform companies, they have an ability to capture dominant market share. And lastly, anti-fragile. Now, anti-fragile here is from the book of Nassim Taleb, wherein such businesses during a down cycle become even stronger as the competition gets completely wiped off because they are not having the money to keep investing behind brands and working. As we mentioned earlier, because of the platform effect, the company is able to get most of the profits pool of the industry and keep investing ahead of the business curve. So gradually, every down cycle, they become stronger and stronger versus the competition. So just in the end, I'd like to mention the compounding equation, wherein the future value is equal to present value into 1 plus r raised to power n. Our attempt is always to maximize the n because that is the exponential thing out there. And if we can maximize it properly, the future value will be tremendous and will keep compounding. Now, this is the opportunity framework just illustrated in a graph, that you have these small investments which InfoEdge is making, and every few years there's a big win which drives a lot of value for the investors. Again, like to mention our disclaimers for the investors, that this is a presentation for educational purposes and not to be considered as investment advice. Thank you. I had a great time presenting and talking to all of you. Looking forward to the questions.
Ashish, thank you so much for this very interesting presentation. I'm wondering how common this kind of structure is in India. Are there other public companies that do similar types of investing that we could also look at as comparables?
Hi, John. So the tough part here is, if you have a PE or VC player funding you in your initial behind you, then a PE VC player will not allow you to do such a model, because you are basically taking up his role. He would want you to be only focused on your segment. Now, InfoEdge is quite unique in the sense that they have been only incubated through their own money, taking a very small amount of PVC money initially, and after that generating so much cash flow on their own that they don't need to answer to any PVC fund. So in India, very few opportunities are there which can keep generating their own cash flow. One comparable company, I won't say comparable, some other companies have their own set of cash flows they have been doing. So for example, Reliance Industries has a lot of cash flow coming from oil and gas sector, and they keep investing in other opportunities. But there the difference is, they are taking big bets and running them on their own. InfoEdge is unique in the mindset that it is only putting small stakes in the company at initial stages and allowing the entrepreneur to run. So that way the management bandwidth is not getting utilized. So if you consider all these points, InfoEdge is a unique company in the Indian ecosystem which does this model.
In terms of the entire capital allocation mix, would you like to see anything prioritized differently? For example, the company also returning capital to shareholders?
So in terms of the capital allocation matrix, which we shared earlier also, any company which can keep deploying the shareholder money in the company at a higher rate of return should keep deploying that. It's like Berkshire Hathaway saying that if I can deploy money better than a shareholder would, I should keep deploying it for my shareholder. And InfoEdge, being the conservative player it is, first keeps investing its own platforms, then the surplus money keeps going in investing in other such startups. Now, as a shareholder, I would love them to keep doing this, because we don't get such opportunities in the private market which InfoEdge gets. And we love to have these optionalities coming every few years to us when these companies scale up immensely.
What risk would you say is top of mind for you with regard to the long-term thesis?
So I think one risk could be if the main recruitment engine, Naukri.com, which is the cash cow of the company, which generates a lot of cash, if that company goes into trouble for any reason, which is the cash throwing engine, that could be a troublesome for the group, because it is relying on those cash flows to buy other businesses. In the long run, other businesses can also scale up, but right now they're in the incubation stage. While we believe that given the metrics, the platform effects and the tailwinds, this shouldn't happen. Second risk factor could be a company like SoftBank going very slow on investing. The debacle of WeWork and other such debacles going could reduce the appetite for startup investments and funding. Now, this could impact the valuations for the startup companies which InfoEdge is investing in. But the good point with InfoEdge management is it teaches its startup to rely on their own funds as well. So the InfoEdge startups have gone through a segment wherein they didn't get funding initially, and they know how to bootstrap.
So if funding is available, they will keep accelerating. But if funding is not available, they will constrain the excess expenditure so that they can grow profitably also. So the second risk in terms of the startup valuations or funding environment going adverse also will be mitigated by the culture of the startups which Info Edge is incubating. So these are the two risks which I see, but Info Edge has mitigating factors for both of them.
If somebody would like to track this idea over time to see whether the thesis is playing out, what would be some key data points to keep an eye on?
So first of all, for the Indian startup ecosystem, the biggest data point is the increase in internet penetration. One should keep tracking that. Secondly, for the companies which Info Edge is incubating, would be traffic share of the portals. For a platform, the biggest, the most key monitorable is what is the traffic share of the portal. That traffic share should be maintained. Third is in terms of capital allocation, that Info Edge is sticking to its policy of investing small, and when the valuations go unreasonable, for example, in the case of Zomato now, the valuation is crossing $3 billion now. Then Info Edge should take a back seat and let the stake get monetized versus investing more. So the first point being how the internet penetration is increasing in the country. Second point in terms of traffic share for all the portals which they are investing in. Third point, the capital allocation policy should be conservative, that they invest at conservative levels. And when the valuation gets obscene, they are okay with monetization of the platform. These are the three things which the investor should keep track of.
Excellent. Well, Ashish, I will leave it there. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us again and to share this investment thesis with our members.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you, MI Global. It was a pleasure.
And I would just encourage our members to feel free to follow up with Ashish either directly, and his email address and contact information is showing here on the screen, or to contact us and we will be happy to facilitate an introduction. Goodbye, everybody, for now.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.